This morning, our scripture comes from 1 Kings chapter. There we go. Verse 15, and then we'll begin with 16. Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, Nimshi's son, as king of Israel. And anoint Elisha from Abel-Mehalah, Shaphat's son, to succeed you as prophet. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. But I have preserved those who remain in Israel, totaling 7,000, all those whose knees haven't bowed down to Baal and whose mouths haven't kissed him." So Elijah departed from there and found Elisha, Shaphat's son. He was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen before him. Elisha was with the 12th yoke. Elijah met up with him and threw his coat on him. Elisha immediately left the oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and my mother," Elisha said. "Then I will follow you." Elijah replied, "Go, I'm not holding you back." Elisha turned back from following Elijah, took the pair of oxen and slaughtered them. Then with the equipment from the oxen, Elisha boiled the meat, gave it to the people, and they ate it. Then he got up, followed Elijah, and served him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. You who are our strength and our salvation. Amen. Today we continue our sermon series, Running on Empty. This is not rocket science. This isn't too deep or difficult, and yet we also need these reminders, don't we? This summer, I have certainly felt the need for this series. If I wasn't running on empty, I was certainly sometimes on fumes. I know we talk about preaching to the choir sometimes. Sometimes we preachers preach to the preachers. We have been following Elijah's story from 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah is quite a character. If you go back and read his story from the beginning, before this point in the story, he is bold and brash. He doesn't back down from the task of being a prophet of God. He doesn't usually run and hide under a broom bush like at this point. But I believe the weight of the world, and perhaps his run-in with Jezebel a little while back, took its toll and brought him to a dark, kind of dry place where he ran and hid from the world. And in his depression, hid under that broom bush. Here in chapter 19, we see him getting what he needs to refuel physically, emotionally, spiritually, to continue on. As a little review, the first week in our series, Mandy talked about the Sabbath and the gift of rest that God has given to us. Our work, our ministry, our activity comes out of Sabbath rest. The time we take to intentionally connect and reconnect with God and with others is a gift. I'm certainly still working on Sabbath keeping and Sabbath practices and the rhythms of my week. I haven't gotten it right yet. And yet I know how much it is needed for my body and my soul. The second week, just as Elijah needed physical nourishment, so do we need rest and good, nutritious food to nourish our bodies so that we're ready for all the tasks ahead so that we can stay healthy. Last week, Elijah was seeking God in the midst of the wilderness, and all kinds of crazy and chaotic things were happening around him. But God was not found in the raging wind or in the earthquake or in the fire. God was present in the thin quiet, in sheer silence. Last week, that made me think about 20 years ago this summer. Eddie and I had just gotten married, and we had the opportunity to visit many of the beautiful places in the western part of the United States, one of them, the Grand Canyon. Now, we didn't visit the Grand Canyon on the south side near I-40, which a lot of people see it from. We came in from the north side and saw it on the north rim. And I remember one day when we were there, we took this drive. It was about an hour and a half or 2 hours one way, with lots of rocks and bumps and ruts that our little Toyota Corolla probably should not have been attempting, but we made it. We were heading out to what is called Point Sublime. And we got out to this point and we peered at that big, huge, beautiful hole in the earth. That is the Grand Canyon. And as I stood there in awe, and as I stood there in a silence that I have probably never experienced again, it felt as if that silent thing was roaring. It was so loud, the silence. That was the most amazing time that I have experienced God, in the sheer silence. Elijah needed Sabbath rest, time apart from the everyday trials and tribulations to reset. He needed good sleep and nutritious food to fuel his body for the tasks he had ahead. He needed God. He had to find where God was in the midst of all the noise and chaos around him. And he needed help. So today, the topic is get help. No matter who we are, no matter how independent we are, talented or resourceful we may be, we all need help. Elijah was a prophet of God. He was an amazing person. He had all kinds of things going for him, skills and talents, and yet he needed help. He had a monumental task before him. He was trying to fight the fight against the followers of another god, of the god Baal. He was attempting to proclaim the truth of the one true living God. As God's prophet, he was trying to help weed out those who had not been faithful, those who had cracked and bowed down and kissed the god Baal. Elijah needed some help. We too need help. As we read through Elijah's story, we see that Elijah doesn't really ask for help, per se. Instead, he gets kind of whiny and kind of defensive, and he complains to God that he is all alone in his mission. Have you ever done that? Not simply asked for help, but, you know, whined and moaned and complained about your situation, about the fact that you really couldn't do whatever it is you have to do by yourself. I know I have. And perhaps God, in God's ultimate power and wisdom, can just hear through all that moaning and whining to hear that we're actually requesting some help. We know in Elijah's story that God doesn't let him stay in that whiny place for long. God provides help, and God provides help in abundance. God provides new leadership for the nations, kings that will support Elijah and the God mission. God also provides Elisha, who will be Elijah's assistant, his apprentice, and eventually his replacement. As the story continues, Elijah goes out to recruit Elisha to come with him. He finds him working in the field, plowing with his oxen, and Elijah walks by and throws his mantle, which is like a coat or his robe, over Elisha, and he passes on by. It's really kind of a funny story. I mean, he's just walking down the road, like throws it off and keeps on walking. And it's a funny story, not just because I can picture it and it looks kind of funny, but it's a funny story because that's not the tradition of how prophets were called. Usually just God directly calls a prophet. And there's no scholarly evidence that this ever happened in any other situation, this throwing of the cloak over someone to call them. Whatever it was that Elijah thought he was doing, Elisha got the message. He knew he was calling him to go, and he was calling him to be the same thing as Elijah, a prophet of God. Elisha runs after Elisha, because remember, he just kept on walking. And Elisha asks Elijah if he can go back and say goodbye, kiss his parents. And Elijah says, go, for what I have done to you is kind of a big thing. You know, go back. This is kind of a big thing. Think about what I'm doing here. Think about what I've invited you to be a part of. And with that, Elisha goes back, and he doesn't just say goodbye and come back. Instead, he kind of makes a symbolic departure from what he was doing before. He takes those oxen and slaughters them, puts them on the fire with their yokes. He kind of breaks all that up, makes a meal out of them, serves and has a big family meal, which says, you know what? I'm not doing this farming thing anymore. I have this new vocation. I'm now a prophet with Elijah. So with that, Elijah receives help in every way that he needs. With these two new kings and the recruitment of Elisha to come, he is well supported. The kings that Elijah named were somewhat moral support, I'll call it, for Elijah's godly cause. They were on Elijah's side. They had the same agenda he had. And so even if they weren't kind of daily help in the tasks day to day, maybe not direct support, but the fact that they were there and they were on Elijah's side and he was not alone, it made a big difference. We need help in that way of moral support. We need to know that we're not alone in what we're going through. Whether it's a difficult situation we are in, whether it's accepting something about who we are or something about our own situation, or simply living through the daily rigors of life, we need the help of having people in our court. What a help it is when we know that we are not the only one. When we know that someone else has experienced, you know, something similar to what we have experienced. Or when we know that others are working toward the same goal that we are. We all need that kind of moral support and help. We also need physical help. There are those times when we simply can't physically do what we're trying to do. Just like Elijah needed some other hands to help him out, and he got Elisha. We simply need some other hands on occasion. I know Vera and the staff are thankful that we have assistance in pulling off Vacation Bible School. No one person can pull that off. There's just too much to do, and even if just the staff took it on, we couldn't handle it. There is lots of help needed in fixing the meals and running each of the stations, Bible story, music, and arts and crafts and science, all the different things. Lots of people needed. And to supervise all the kids that we had week before last, lots of help is needed. And we had it. Everybody came together to put it on. We often need physical help, and often we're afraid to ask for it. Recently, I know there have been a number of people in our congregation because of illness or injury have needed just some help with food. And I love to see our congregation to come together and sign up and bring meals for one another when somebody is in need. It's a wonderful way to just sustain somebody in the daily tasks of life by providing meals. I know all too well just the need for help. I know recently, this is just a silly example, but I was trying to take the recycling basket out to the recycling bin. Now, this was a basket that was overflowing with paper, plastics, glass, and you have to open the door and open the bin and all these things, and I just said, okay, I'm just gonna do this. Well, because I didn't ask for help, I ended up with a garage full of broken glass because I tried to do it on my own. Sometimes when we try to do things on our own, it simply doesn't work, and we find ourselves in a bad place. Which brings me to the next point. There is nothing wrong in asking for help. I don't know what it is within me or within you, because I know a lot of you fairly well, that makes us so determined to do things on our own. I don't know what it is in us that often makes us feel so independent that we should just try things by ourselves. And here I really am preaching to myself, as you know. It's okay to ask for help. In fact, God wants us to ask each other for help with the little things like carrying a recycling bin, but also with the big things and the small things. Jesus is the prime example for us. Jesus didn't go it alone. He asked for help. Jesus recruited 12 disciples, 12 guys, and there were some probably other women and children that they don't mention too much. And I'm sure these people that surrounded him helped with logistics and helped with the physical things, like collecting the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and feeding all of those people. And then when it was done, they had to take it all up and with 12 baskets full left over. These disciples were also moral support in addition to physical help. They were companionship on this very hard journey of life and ministry. Jesus asked for help, and so should we. Paul even writes in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "The Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.'" I love that because that just reminds me that where I am weak, through God, through the Spirit that works in me, that's where I can be made strong. Through the help of God, through the help of other people. Sometimes we need to ask for professional help. You know, if we have mosquitoes, we call Rick Tolbert. If we have a plumbing problem, we call Tracy Kress. You know, sometimes you just need some professional help. Well, sometimes our bodies and our minds need somebody who knows something a little more than we do. Sometimes we need to call on the nurse, on the doctor, even on a counselor. I believe we are so blessed here at Forest Hill to have some resources. We have Laura Tolbert, who is a wonderful person just to help you walk through. She just knows a lot of resources, and she's good at finding it if she doesn't know it, just to help walk through this crazy system of the Medicare system, or medical system, including Medicare. I love that we have the Latino Clinic to help provide medical care for some folks in our community who are the most in need. And this year we have been so blessed to have Anna Fulkins, a counseling intern who has seen individuals and couples and families just to help talk through what's going on to help them get to the next place, whatever might be the next step towards health and wholeness. Sometimes we need professional help. And we can ask for that. Sometimes we need help simply with the presence, with the listening ear of another person. You know, sometimes we don't need another person to do or to say anything, but just to be present, to listen to us with a heart of compassion. And certainly there's lots of us who are willing to listen. When we're running on empty, we need help. In order to not get to that place where we're running on empty, we need help. And we shouldn't be too embarrassed, too shy, too proud, or too stubborn to ask for help when we need it. This week I was running on empty. I think after vacation Bible school and just a lot of things going on this summer, I needed some help. And I had the opportunity on Monday night to have dinner with some friends. This is a dinner group that we call ourselves the Exciting Eights. We started about 15 years ago when we were all on a church staff together and went through kind of a troubling time, and it just drew us together. And so we try to get together every once in a while. We hadn't been together in over a year, just to eat dinner. And we laughed and we shared and we listened, and our souls, our tanks, were refueled by that night, that evening together. The next morning, on Tuesday morning, I was present in the hospital with my college roommate as she had some major surgery. Now, she has lots of people supporting her. Lots of her family members were there throughout the day, and one of her pastors was there. But she had asked me specifically to be present with her before surgery and during surgery, just to be present, to be a calming presence during that time. And I have to say that being a help to her was also something that filled my tank. Sometimes providing help to someone else can be a way that we refill our own souls and spirits. Elijah needed help, and God provided. When we are running on empty and our resources and spiritual and emotional storehouses are pleaded, we need help. And we can get help. God provides help in all different kinds of ways with all different kinds of people. And God even provides nourishment and what we need if we're willing to open our hearts and to help others. When we're running on empty, God helps by giving us the help from others that we need. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for the many different ways that you provide help for us. Through this church community, through friends and neighbors, through family, through professionals, through all these different ways that we can seek help and that we can be provided with the assistance we need. We give you thanks. Help us to seek you and to seek the help that we need just to take the next step, the next healthy way forward. Loving God, we give you thanks for the ways that you bless us. We lift up this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.